The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon, Tusker, and good afternoon to all our listeners out there. I hope everybody had a restful and relaxing weekend. And, of course, a new day and a new opportunity to learn more about our health. And while we are going to be talking about a specific topic that is rather common these days, and I get a lot of questions on it, I want anybody to just call in, send their WhatsApp, send their messages on any of their medical concerns, and we can also have a conversation surrounding those as well.
All right. First question of the day, what is constipation and how do doctors define it?
So this is a very common topic and a very common complaint. So constipation really means that a person is having difficulty passing stool, or they are passing stool less often than usual, or they may feel like the bowel is not completely emptied after using the bathroom. And a lot of people have this notion that constipation only refers to not going to the washroom every day. But medically, it is more about the overall pattern and the difficulty that comes with passing stool. Now, we even define as doctors constipation as having fewer than 3 bowel movements per week, or having very hard or lumpy stools, or excessive straining, or a feeling of blockage, or even a sensation that stool remains even after passing a bowel movement. Many people think that everybody has to pass stool every day to be healthy, and that's not the case. Some healthy people will pass stool 3 times a day, while other people may go 3 times for the week. What matters most is whether the pattern itself is normal for that person and whether there are symptoms like pain or bloating or bleeding or weight loss or just a sudden change in the person's bowel habits. Constipation is not embarrassing. It is not a rare condition. Like I said, it is a very common complaint. And it is, I would classify it as one of the most common digestive complaints that we do get in either the clinic, in private practice, wherever you go. There's at least about 10 persons coming in with constipation alone. So that's the first thing I want us to get out of our heads, that because it is a digestive issue or a bowel movement issue, that it's embarrassing or that it's rare, and that's not the truth. Many people suffer with constipation, and the key here is getting the proper management for it before it gets worse.
How common is constipation and which groups of people are most likely to experience it?
So like I said, constipation is very, very common and it affects people of all ages. So you can find it in children to older adults. I would say that it is especially common in older persons and pregnant women and people who have low fiber diets. We also see constipation in persons who are physically inactive and if you're taking certain medications as well. Now, women tend to report constipation more often than men, and that's partly because women experience hormonal changes, so that is going to cause changes to their bowel habits. We experience pregnancy, even pelvic floor issues and slower gut movement. All of these things contribute to a woman developing constipation more often than men. Now, older adults are also at a higher risk because as you get older, for some people, they have reduced mobility or their fluid intake becomes lower, or they have some chronic medical conditions that will be compounded. And even certain medications that they're using can contribute to constipation. And children may actually develop constipation as well from toilet training issues or just the fear of painful stool or just withholding stool at school. And many people think that constipation is always caused by laziness or a poor diet. And yes, I would agree that diet and activity do matter, but we also have to understand that constipation can also be caused by medical conditions and nerve problems and pelvic floor dysfunction, medications, and like I mentioned earlier, hormonal issues.
How can diet affect bowel movements, and what role does fiber play in preventing constipation?
So diet really does play a major role in bowel health. So fiber adds bulk to the stool. So that helps hold water in the stool, and it will support smoother movement throughout the intestines. And there are two main types of fiber. You have soluble and insoluble fiber. Soluble fiber would be found in foods like oats and beans and apples and even psyllium. And this type of fiber absorbs water and it forms a gel-like substance. Now, insoluble fiber, which would be found in whole grains and vegetables and wheat bran, is stool, and it helps the stool move along. And most people are actually not getting enough fiber daily. Many people think that just simply by adding more fiber as well, that is going to fix all of their constipation problems. And fiber does help many people, but it is something that you have to increase gradually. And of course, it works best with enough fluids as well. So if you're intaking more fiber, but you're not increasing your hydration, then you're not going to get the proper effect that this fiber can have on your body. Because suddenly adding large amounts of fiber can actually worsen certain conditions like bloating or gas or just a discomfort in your abdominal area. And also, if somebody is suffering with bowel obstruction or severe narrowing of the bowel or significant fecal impact, then adding fiber without proper medical advice can actually make your symptoms worse. And food-based fiber is ideal, but the supplements like the psyllium husk may actually be very useful for some people as well.
And the next question is, and also, if it is that you've got your own questions, you can send them to 306-1065 or call in at 625-2257, 627-3223. The next question, does not drinking enough water really cause constipation? And how important is hydration for bowel health?
So hydration is important because stool needs water to remain soft and easier to pass. So when a person is dehydrated, the colon may absorb more water from the stool, making it harder and drier. People who do sweat a lot, and if they exercise intensely, if they live in hot climates like us here in Trinidad, or if they take diuretics, or they just do not drink enough fluids, they may actually be more prone to constipation. Hydration is especially important when increasing fiber intake, like we just talked about, because, like I said, fiber needs that water to work properly. Many people assume that drinking huge amounts of water alone, however, will cure constipation. But if a person is already well hydrated, simply just drinking more water may not be the solution to your problem. Like we discussed, constipation is often multifactorial, meaning diet and movement and medications and bowel habits and stress and medical conditions, all of those things may be involved as well. So the main thing that I would usually tell patients when they're looking to see whether or not they are properly hydrated is aim for your urine to be pale yellow most of the day. Drink that water regularly and pair your hydration with fiber and proper movement as well.
So we have a question coming in from a listener here. It says, good afternoon. I started a new exercise routine last week and my bowel movements has slowed down significantly from going every day to going every 2 days. Plus, I'm very gassy. Would I or should I be concerned? Not sure if the exercise is related to the change.
So with new exercise routines, they can have an effect on your bowel movements. What we would usually see is because you increase the intensity of your exercise or increase the amount of times that you're doing exercise routines, is that the bowel movements usually go faster. However, for some people, constipation or just a change in your bowel routine can be due to mild dehydration, because when you start exercising more, especially in our hot climate, you may be losing more fluid through sweat. So if you are not increasing your fluid in proportion to the amount of fluid that you're losing during exercise, then that can actually lead to dehydration and reduce your bowel movements. And we also have to look at other factors that can be compounded in this. So with that exercise change, do you have any dietary changes that you're focusing on, or did your diet as well change? Because when you change your diet, you may start to eat higher protein without increasing the fiber intake. Some people start to cut carbs very dramatically. You start to eat fewer fruits and vegetables and just eat less overall. And I will often see a lot of people increasing chicken and eggs and the protein shakes and all the meats while accidentally reducing the fiber-rich foods, and that can also lead to constipation. And of course, bowel routines also thrive on your particular routine. So if you're now waking earlier for going to the gym or whatever exercise routine that you're doing, it may have changed because you've changed your routine as well. So that could be some of the considerations. I wouldn't say that it is something extremely concerning at this point, because of course, when you do change certain things in your body is going to change as well. What I would say is to monitor it. And if you are noticing that it is substantially less bowel movements for the week, so say less than three, then that's a cause for concern in terms of constipation, and that's when you should definitely go and get it properly assessed.
Can certain medications cause constipation, and which medicines are the most common culprits?
So yes, medications are one of the most common causes of constipation, especially when we're looking at adults and older persons. And some of the common culprits that we do see would be opioid medications like the codeine or the morphine or even tramadol, even iron supplements that people are taking for anemia, and calcium supplements as well. Some antacids actually do have that effect on some persons, certain antidepressants, antihistamines, anti-spasmodics, anti-nausea medications, and even some blood pressure medications, especially when we're looking at calcium channel blockers and some medications that are used for bladder control as well. But I would say that opioids are particularly notorious because they directly slow your gut's movement. Many people assume that if constipation begins after starting a medication, then you automatically just stop taking the medication without any sort of medical input. But that can actually be very dangerous, especially when we're looking at your blood pressure medication and your antidepressants or your pain medications. So instead, what you do at this point is you have a conversation with your doctor. So sometimes the dose can be adjusted and the medication can be changed, or a bowel regimen can be started early on. So some people who are prescribed opioids, they may actually need a proactive constipation plan from day one.
Another message coming in via 3061065. I eat a lot of watercress, Do you think it will constipate me eating it three times a day?
So when we look at watercress and constipation, I actually don't think that would be a contributing factor, because if we look at watercress itself is it's just like a healthy vegetable. But I would say that it's not particularly high in fiber, like if we're looking at beans or lentils or oats. But at the end of the day, that by itself is not going to lead to constipation. So we have to look at other compounding factors. Are you eating this with an increase in protein without actually increasing proper fiber intake? Are you moving daily? Are you, having enough hydration daily? So watercress is not something that leads to or causes constipation by itself.
And the next question coming in via... let me put it this, sorry. So if you have questions, call in now at 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, 3061-065 is your WhatsApp number, so you can send your messages there as well. What medical conditions can lead to constipation, and when should people be concerned about an underlying disease?
So there are several medical conditions that can lead to constipation. So what we would usually see, or the main culprits, would be hypothyroidism, chronic diseases like diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injuries, even other neurological conditions like a stroke, or mental health conditions like depression or eating disorders, even imbalance in some of your electrolytes. So high calcium levels can lead to constipation as well. Kidney disease and, like I mentioned before, pregnancy. Colon and rectal conditions. So, for example, if somebody has a stricture or a tumor or a rectal seal or some sort of anal fissure, or even pelvic floor dysfunction, which we do see more often in older females, those conditions can also lead to constipation. And in some people, we look at constipation as part of a broader disorder of gut motility. Now, people should be concerned when constipation is new or persistent or worsening or associated with red flags. So those red flags would include if the person has blood in the stool, if they are experiencing unexplained weight loss, if they have anemia, if they have severe abdominal pain and vomiting and fever that accompany that constipation, if they have a family history of colon cancer, if they have a sudden change in their bowel habits after age 45 or 50, if their stools are now pencil thin, or they have an inability to pass gas. Many people think that colon cancer always causes these dramatic symptoms, but sometimes the earliest sign here is a very subtle but persistent change in bowel habits.
And we have a call coming in at 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello? Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, Tosca.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, morning. The doctor said that lack of exercise, one, and I want to find out if consuming up too much of meat in general.
Okay, thank you so much for your call.
Can you repeat the question, Tosca?
So basically he's saying he thought that exercise could cause constipation. He's asking about the exorbitant consumption of meat. Could that cause constipation as well?
So when we look at constipation and eating meat itself. Remember, meat is protein, and if we are increasing the amount of protein that we are consuming without adequately increasing the amount of fiber that we're consuming, then that is definitely a reason somebody can develop constipation. So when we look at high meat diets, the main reason that can cause constipation is lack of fiber, because meat contains zero dietary fiber in it. So if you're not having that meat with some sort of fiber source, then you are putting yourself at risk for developing constipation. And fiber feeds the beneficial bacteria in your colon as well. And those bacteria produce certain compounds or chemicals that continue to make your bowel healthy. So when your fiber intake drops significantly and your meat intake increases significantly, then you will have a change in your gut microbiome, and that would lead to slower bowel movements, harder stools, all of that. Dehydration is also something that we do see in persons that have a high meat diet or high protein diet, because you do require more water intake, but many people just don't increase their water intake when they're increasing their protein intake as well. So all of these things can lead to constipation. And yes, to answer your question, a high meat diet can lead to constipation without the adequate fiber intake.
How do stress, anxiety, and mental health affect digestion and bowel habits?
So the gut and brain are closely connected through what we call the gut-brain axis. Now, stress and affect the movement of your gut, the sensitivity of your gut, your appetite, and your bowel habits. And some people develop diarrhea when they're anxious, but others may become constipated. Stress can also change your routine. So you may be eating differently, you may drink less water, you may sleep poorly, you may exercise less. And you may also ignore the urge to pass stool. And all of these things tend to worsen constipation. Many people believe that if stress contributes to constipation, then the symptoms are all in your head, and that is false. Stress produces real physiological changes through hormones, through your nervous system, through muscle tension, and through gut motility as well. So patients that do have irritable bowel syndrome will often have a sensitive gut that reacts very strongly to stress and to certain foods or to hormonal changes as well. And managing stress and sleep and breathing and exercise and even routine can all be part of proper medical treatment and not a dismissal of the person's symptoms.
And the next question coming in, let's take a call. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Calling from Dorbasatrace, Pinal. In my effort to reduce the glycemic index of the food that are available to me, I discovered resistant starch, which you can create in your starchy foods, and it acts like a fiber. In fact, they call it a fiber. You boil your food overnight, your starchy foods, like I'm eating sweet potato today that was boiled yesterday and slept in the fridge overnight. And we're going to boil some this evening for tomorrow. And that would extend to all starchy foods. And you don't reheat it. There's a discrepancy between opinions there, whether reheating changes it back and so on. So I don't bother to reheat it. So that argument doesn't affect me, right? They all agree that if you just don't reheat it, you're fine with your resistant starch that has been built up overnight in the food, in the starchy foods, and it applies to beans and all of that. And that helps because it's a fiber. It lowers the glycemic index of the food and all of that beneficial effect and so on. So I thought I'll throw that in today since we're talking about fiber. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I would say that resistant starch does behave the same as fiber. It's not fiber, but it physiologically behaves similarly. So it will be grouped under this umbrella term of what we call functional fiber. But That's a great piece of information to throw in there. Thank you.
Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Costa. Hello.
Good afternoon.
I was telling to Tony and Debbie and they're doing a good job. And
I wish you had a question for the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Of course, our station, sister station, Sky 99.5 FM and Sangeet 106.1 FM. Today, we are talking about chronic constipation. And the next question coming in, what are some common myths about bowel movements, including the belief that everyone should have a bowel movement every day?
So that by itself is actually one of the biggest myths. And people just assume that a healthy person must pass stool every day. Now, normal bowel frequency varies widely. So what's normal for me may not be normal for you. And what's normal for you may not be normal for somebody else. But what matters most is comfort and consistency and whether the pattern is normal for that person. And another myth that I do hear about is that toxins just randomly build up in the body if somebody misses one day of stool. The body has its own detoxification systems, and that's mainly in the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, and the gut. So missing a day does not automatically mean that somebody is poisoned. And another common myth that I do hear is that colon cleanses are necessary for good health. But the reality is many of these colon cleansing products are just causing diarrhea, and they're causing dehydration, and they're causing electrolyte imbalance. They're causing cramping in the stomach, and they also create this dependence on unhealthy bowel routines. Now, the bowel does not need aggressive cleansing to function well. The better approach, I would say, is having consistent fiber intake, hydrating yourself appropriately, moving yourself every day, having regular toilet habits, whatever that may be for you, and, of course, seeking the appropriate medical treatment when required.
What are the warning signs or red flags associated with constipation that should prompt someone to seek medical attention?
So some of the red flags we've mentioned before, but I'll mention them again. So those would include rectal bleeding, black stool, any sort of unexplained weight loss, persistent vomiting, severe or worsening abdominal pain, fever, anemia, sudden constipation in an older adult, a family history of colorectal cancer, or a major change in bowel habits that just does not settle. Any inability to pass stool or gas that also comes with abdominal swelling and vomiting will be suggestive of bowel obstruction, and that is something that requires urgent care. I would also say that you should seek medical attention if constipation is lasting several weeks despite the proper lifestyle changes. And if you need laxatives constantly, you definitely have to seek medical attention for that. Or if you also feel like a blockage or incomplete emptying, I would say to check with your doctor about those particular symptoms. Many people think that bleeding with constipation is always just hemorrhoids. And yes, hemorrhoids are common, but bleeding should not automatically be dismissed, especially if it is something that is new, if it is recurrent, if it's heavy, if it is mixed into the stool, or if it's associated with weight loss or change in bowel habits.
How is chronic constipation different from occasional constipation, and what complications can occur if it is left untreated?
So, occasional constipation happens from time to time, and that is often due to some sort of change in your routine, for example, traveling, or due to dehydration and dietary changes, due to a stressful event or an illness that you've experienced, or even temporarily using a particular medication. Now, chronic constipation lasts for weeks to months, and may require a more structured evaluation and treatment plan. Chronic constipation can significantly affect your quality of life. It can cause bloating and abdominal discomfort and irritability and poor appetite and even anxiety around bowel movements. And some of the complications that we do see coming with chronic constipation would be hemorrhoids and anal fissures and rectal bleeding and fecal impaction, even rectal prolapse and worsening pelvic floor strain. And something like fecal impaction will actually occur when heart stool becomes so stuck in the rectum and it cannot pass normally. Sometimes liquid stool leaks around the blockage, which may be mistaken for diarrhea. And many people also believe that constipation is harmless if a person can still pass a little bit of stool. But partial passage does not always mean that the bowel is empty.
What are hemorrhoids, anal fissures, and fecal impaction? And how can constipation contribute to these conditions?
So hemorrhoids are swollen blood vessels that are located around the anus or the lower rectum, and they cause discomfort and itching and swelling and bright red blood, especially after a person has been straining. Now, constipation contributes because these hard stools and this repeated straining increases pressure in these vessels. Anal fissures, on the other hand, are small tears in the lining of the anus, and that is often caused by passing hard stools. So they can cause sharp pain during bowel movements, and you may notice bright red blood on the paper. And fecal impaction, like I mentioned before, is when the stool becomes so hard and dry that it gets stuck, usually in the rectum. And this is something we more commonly see in older adults and persons with neurological disease or persons taking opioids or persons with long-standing constipation as well. Many people think that hemorrhoids and fissures are the same thing, but they are very different conditions, but both can be triggered by constipation. But any sort of persistent bleeding and severe pain or even a lump that does not settle needs to be medically addressed.
It's just about 20 minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock here on Freedom 106.5 FM as we continue the Lunchtime Doctor with our sister station Sky 99.5 FM and Sangeet 106.1 FM joining us. So listeners, if you do have any questions, you can send it to 306-1065 and of course call 625-2257, 627-3223. Another message says here, I did a full body detox every day for 14 days. After the detox, I had stomach cramps and stomach discomfort literally for years. What do you think was the cause? Thank you for your service.
So, like I mentioned before, a lot of these detoxes or what is marketed as weight loss or any sort of herbal remedies for detoxing the body, what it really is a lot of laxatives. And what that tends to do is, one, cause diarrhea and discomfort and bloating and gas and pain. And that's because it starts to disrupt your gut microbiome. So if I were you, I'd probably go to a gastroenterologist or just go to your doctor, find out what they can do in terms of that. Maybe you need to build back up your gut microbiome. Maybe you need some probiotics. And that could be the reason why you're experiencing all of this cramping. A lot of those detox teas tend to sort of disrupt your gut barrier. And that is why people for years will end up having a lot of these GI side effects, like the pain and the bloating and even the diarrhea or constipation.
What lifestyle changes can help prevent and treat constipation naturally?
So lifestyle treatment is going to begin with fiber, fluids, movement, and routine. So increasing your fruits, your vegetables, your legumes, your oats, your ground flaxseed, your chia seeds, your whole grains, and even your psyllium husk can all help. And regular walking or exercise will help you to stimulate your bowel movements as well. And I would suggest establishing a toilet routine, because that is also going to be important. Many people will benefit from sitting on the toilet after breakfast because eating triggers the gastrocolic reflex. And that is a natural wave of colon activity. A footstool can help place your body in a more squat-like position, and that may make stool easier to pass as well. And it is also important not to ignore the urge to go. Repeatedly holding your stool can train your rectum to become less responsive over time. Many people think that natural means harmless, and like we just spoke about, some of those natural teas and the herbal laxatives, they contain a lot of stimulant compounds that cause cramping and diarrhea and dehydration and dependence if it becomes overused. Natural management should still be sensible and safe, and any sort of persistent constipation is going to require a medical review.
And the next question coming in at 3061065, what lifestyle changes can help prevent and treat constipation naturally?
So, like we just spoke about, lifestyle is going to start with your diet, making sure that you increase your fiber intake and, of course, your hydration status as well. So that is going to change on a day-to-day basis based on what you're doing, how much fluid you're using, and how much exercise you're doing as well, because when you're exercising, you lose more fluids through sweat. So you definitely want to build that back up and build back up your electrolytes. And moving is going to be very important. So regular walking and exercise is going to stimulate your bowel movements. And like I mentioned before, any sort of red flags that come up, or if constipation is persistent and chronic, always needs to be addressed by your doctor.
Are laxatives safe? What different types are available, and can people become dependent on them?
So laxatives can be safe and very helpful when they're used appropriately. So we have bulk forming laxatives such as psyllium, where they add fiber and they help to retain water in the stool. We have something called osmotic laxatives such as polyethylene glycol or lactulose, and that draws water into the bowel to soften the stool. We have stool softeners that help moisten the stool, although they may be less effective for severe constipation. We have stimulant laxatives like senna, and that triggers bowel contractions, and that is very useful in short-term or in selected cases. But many people just assume that all laxatives are dangerous or they're addictive, and that's not the truth. A lot of people or a lot of patients safely use certain laxatives under the right medical guidance, especially persons with chronic constipation, with opioid-induced constipation, or with medical conditions that slow their bowel movement. But if you overuse certain laxatives, like the stimulant laxatives, or you use very harsh purging products, that can cause cramping, electrolyte problems, dehydration, and unhealthy dependence patterns. So the best laxative is really going to be dependent on the cause of your constipation, your age, any medical conditions that you have, and the severity of your symptoms.
Now, I think some of the answers that you gave to that question can apply to this question coming in. Good afternoon, Doctor. Can you explain the dangers of having regular bowel washes and regular laxatives in the bedridden elderly?
So again, for anybody, even in the bedridden elderly, I would say that this is more of a risk because they are mostly bedridden and they cannot mobilize. So they can't move about. They are more at risk for certain medical conditions. And if you are overusing some of these laxatives, especially the harsh stimulant laxatives, they are going to get electrolyte problems. They are going to experience dehydration. And they are also going to get a lot of other conditions compounding with that. And that dehydration may even just contribute to the constipation getting worse because the body is not able to properly be hydrated. Remember, persons that are bedridden, a lot of the time, some of them do have neurological deficits. So they can't tell you when they're thirsty. They can't tell you when they're lacking water. So it is very important to monitor these persons when they are on certain medications or when they're given certain medications as well.
Does taking paraffin or castor oil help in relieving constipation?
So when we look at paraffin and castor oil, these are considered, yes, over-the-counter laxatives. So castor oil is more of a stimulant laxative, and paraffin would be like a lubricant laxative. And they do soften the stools. They do, they're effective for short-term relief of constipation. But I would always suggest that if you're experiencing chronic constipation, go to your doctor, let them assess what the root cause of that constipation is before you go and take any of these over-the-counter laxatives.
And the final question for today, if you do have any other contributions or questions that you'd like to send to 3061065, you can do that right now. Or you can send a call to 625-2257, 627-3223. Going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have that last question inside the Lunchtime Doctor.
Power up your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in. You're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Gary V's infectious personality. Join the fun. Fuel the conversation. Speak Your Mind. Saturdays with Gary V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Tune in to Betterments with host Space Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you, only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
When the issues matter, the conversation starts here. From politics to the economy, from social justice to national development, nothing is off the table. Weekdays, Monday to Friday, 6 to 9 a.m., Davey Marie brings you the Morning Rumble on Freedom 106.5 FM. Hard-hitting topics, informative, credible guests, experts who don't just talk, they break it down. If you want clarity, accountability, and real discussion on the issues shaping your day and your country, there's only one place to be. The Morning Rumble, weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind. Every weekday morning, Tosca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
And now we return to the Lunchtime Doctor with the final question just before we close off for today. What practical advice would you give listeners to maintain a healthy digestive system and regular bowel habits throughout life?
So I would say the best advice I could give is really to build a daily bowel-friendly routine. So eat enough fiber, drink adequate fluids, move your body more, avoid a lot of the excess processed foods, respond to the urge to pass stool, and create regular toilet time without rushing. A healthy gut will also benefit from proper sleep, proper stress management, and balanced meals. And I think that people should know their own normal pattern rather than comparing themselves to others. Normal bowel movements should generally be soft and formed and easy to pass. And finally, I want to say, do not be embarrassed to speak to your doctor about constipation. It is very common and very treatable, and sometimes it gives us very important clues about your overall health. And the key thing here is that constipation is not just about how often you go. It is about stool consistency, ease of passage, associated symptoms, and changes from your normal pattern as well. Most cases will improve with lifestyle and safe treatment, but the red flags like bleeding and weight loss and severe pain and vomiting and anemia or a new persistent change in your bowel habits should always be checked.
All right, I thought we were getting a call there. If you have any closing questions, you can send them to 3061065 or any last callers. Right now, we have a couple minutes before 1 o'clock. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Quick question, in terms of teas, would it be a good idea to drink teas instead of other drinks for natural passing? How does that help?
So when we're looking at teas or these herbal remedies, I would say that there are certain teas that can help with the constipation and help persons feel relief. So something like peppermint tea or ginger tea, because that stimulates digestion and you get the anti-inflammatory properties as well. Chamomile tea helps to promote relaxation and it will help to support digestive comfort. But I would say in terms of hydration, we don't want to replace water with any other liquid. So water should remain at the top of the list when we're talking about hydration.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, Dr. Dean, to come in for the lunchtime doctor. Tomorrow is another edition, and we'd like to thank our listeners as well on our sister station, Sky 99.5 FM and Sangeet 106.1 FM. Any closing remarks, doctor?
I would just like to tell people to, of course, take charge of your own health and especially your bowel health, because that is part of your overall health as well. So don't be ashamed to go to your doctor if you're experiencing any sort of bowel issues or constipation, diarrhea, whatever it is, anything that is unusual for you, especially for an extended period of time, deserves proper assessment.
All right, thank you so much. And we're back to regular programming here at Freedom 106.5 FM. Thank you so much, listeners. And on to the next edition of the Lunchtime
Best Insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.